This is AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I am Roy G. Bruce, how we doing in 2012?
Right now, in 2012, well, I'm 3-0 yesterday.
That's good.
I jumped late on Atlanta. I mean, not Atlanta. I was saying Texas. God, I don't even want to talk about Atlanta yet.
Houston.
On the Houston Texans. You know what? 3.5 points is a joke. They have the best defense. I thought their quarterback, Yates, the kid from Carolina, I thought he'd do fine. And their defense is definitely a step up. And I'll tell you what, they've waited 10 years. You know, Houston is an expansion team. You know, they took the Oilers out of Houston 11 years ago, moved them to Tennessee, built a stadium in Nashville, and, now Houston is, after 10, they've been very patient. I'll give them that. They've been very patient. But that ball game was so one-sided. I mean, it was close early, but, you know, the problem was is that, you know, the quarterback for Cincinnati.
Andy Dalton.
Andy is going to be a solid NFL quarterback.
I think he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, the problem is he plays for the Brown family. He's in Cincinnati. Nobody's ever going to know him. His jersey isn't going to be seen nationwide. You know, I mean, it's the Bengals. It's the Bengals.
I think the Bengals are going to be a team on the rise. I think they could win that division, the AFC North, in the upcoming years. You got to remember that they traded away Carson Palmer for 2 number 1 picks. So for the next 2 years, they have 2 number 1 picks. And if they if their draft is anything like the draft they had last year, where they got AJ Green and Andy Dalton, then they're going to be going places.
Obviously, somebody in their war room knows what they're doing. And the thing that I like about Cincinnati is there's really not a lot of stuff in Cincinnati to get sidetracked with. Andy Dalton, though, and I like the kid. I like his looks. I like the way he's built. I think he's a very talented athlete. There's no question about that. And God, AJ Green, how talented is that guy?
And then you look at their entire Ocho Cinco. Yeah, I mean,
they get rid of Ocho Cinco.
They don't bring back T.O. because he's injured, and you can't even tell that they didn't miss a beat here with the young receivers.
They got one receiver who's their number three. That leaps and does flips 7 feet in the air over defensive backs.
He's an incredible athlete. I think his name's Sanders. And then AJ Green. They still have a good running game. Andy Dalton looks good. Andy Dalton is not a Cam Newton athletically, but he doesn't have to be because he's a good pocket passer and he still can move a little bit. Not a Cam Newton moving, but he can still move.
Don't see any changes being made in Cincinnati. I mean, they're going the right direction. And the thing that I really like, you know, Marvin Lewis, it's hard not to like that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, Marvin Lewis could be, a psychologist, in my opinion. If you ever see him do his pressers, he never has a bad word to say about anyone. Even when he went through all the crap with T.O. and Ocho Cinco in Cincinnati, he kind of laughed it off and just said, you know, guys will be guys.
We tried. What do you want from me?
You know, I really didn't want to bring the guy here anyway, but, you know, he didn't say that. He would never say that even if it was true. That's what I like about Marvin. And I tell you what, I like what's going on in Baltimore. Speaking of Marvin, off to the Baltimore Ravens now, who are going to be hosting the Houston Texans, and they just had Houston Texans there about 4 or 5 weeks ago, right?
It was earlier in the season.
Yeah, they beat them by 7. Mm-hmm. And you won't find too many lines out this early, but if you do, I'm going to give you my line. My line on that game, 7 points. You know, Baltimore has been, in my opinion, solid at home. Where they've struggled is on the road with Flacco and everybody else. I mean, but it seems Flacco has a problem on the road. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, Joe Flacco.
His numbers on the road are ridiculously bad.
They're 8-0 at home this season.
Right.
It is an obvious home field advantage for these guys. This is their first playoff home hosted playoff game in MMT Bank history. So the fans are going to be fired up. Flacco is going to be in somewhat of a comfort zone, if you can call. If Flacco has a comfort zone, it's going to be an M&T Bank Stadium. Now, the thing that I like about this matchup is that, to me, they're the exact same team. They are quarterback, both teams.
Strong defenses.
Very, very strong defenses.
Yeah, top three in defense in the league.
And who's the better running back here, Ray Rice or Arian Foster?
They're both about the same.
That's what I mean. These are the exact same team. Now, if there's no Anquan Boldin, then you're looking at Andre Johnson, the plus factor here.
Yeah, they said he was running routes last week. He must have had arthroscopic surgery, because there's no way he had major surgery and he can come back this soon. Now, he's not terribly fast anymore anyway.
No, he's not, but he's a great possession receiver.
But they'll be able to single cover him. And, and you know what? The Houston defense, if you watch, and by the way, I didn't even see that game until last night. I TiVo'd both games. I actually fell asleep at halftime of the New Orleans Saints game. And picked it up at about 12:30 at night and watched the rest of it. God, TiVo, that's the greatest invention in the history of sports people, because you can watch a game over
and you can
over.
Rewind.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's like that. That's like rinsing, you know, with shampoo. Right?
I love rewinding.
Rinse, repeat. Rewind, rinse, repeat.
You just rewind, and then the commercial comes, and you just fast forward right to the commercial.
Hey, by the way, I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here with Roy Edwards, who is my partner here on this show, and we're having a blast. Last week, if you heard us, we were up in Westchester County in the WFAS studios. Kyle Kachork, hello, Kyle.
Hi.
You know, it's funny, we're back at Matt's, and I've got a little bit more room here, but it's such a different setting, and we love both settings, and we're going to be coming up there again, probably in the spring sometime, to visit during baseball season. We may even come up for opening day. I haven't decided yet. I'll be at spring training for 3 weeks. We'll be doing a sports show 52 weeks out of the year,
yeah.
And baseball is
that's
my
true love.
Yeah,
that's your sport.
I mean, that was my sport, but football's my passion.
Football is
And wrestling's in my blood. High school collegiate wrestling, not MMA and all that crap.
I'm into football like you're into baseball.
Yeah,
and
you
I'm
are.
Into baseball like you're into football.
Well, you're football. Even into hockey.
So, yeah, I do love hockey.
How about the Rangers?
Yeah, the Rangers are looking good.
Where did they come from?
Yeah, they're historically, well, I don't want to say historically, but in recent years, they've been the 7 or 8 seed. They've been kind of battling it out with the Capitals, who we're both very familiar with in the first rounds.
Until the playoffs.
Right, and then now the Rangers find themselves in the 1 seed in the East. It's not the Penguins. It's not the Capitals. You know, it's not the Flyers, who the Rangers beat up on in the Winter Classic game. So it's like, you know, the New York fans have a lot to be happy about right now. The Giants are in the playoffs. The Rangers are looking good. Well, the Yankees. Yankees are the Yankees.
Yeah, well, the Yankees are the Yankees. You know, if they need it, they'll go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's basically the way. And that's not to say anything bad about the New York Yankees. I tell you what I really like. I like the Staten Island Yankees. If you ever get a chance and you're in New York City, you got to go by and see the Staten Island Yankees. I mean, you know, they're an incredible. They sell out all the time, and so does I think there's another team up there that sell out too.
There's another minor league team up there, the New York Mets, that sell out a lot.
No, they don't. They don't sell out. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. We're getting started here. Hey, in the Houston game, did you get a chance to see the entire game?
The Houston game, yes.
Yeah.
I saw the whole Houston game.
When did you think the turning point was in that game?
When Andy Dalton threw the interception to
how did that guy catch that ball?
That I don't know.
And then
Andy Dalton is still trying to figure out how
they check
that
wide
ball.
Receivers for stick'em on their hands. There was a time in the NFL, people, in the 1970s, when you could put this stuff on your hands that was like
similar to
axle
a pine
grease.
Tar. It was kind of like a pine tar.
No, but it was literally
it was
on
blue.
The Oakland Raiders made it famous. Their receivers and their defensive backs. You could like literally hit somebody in the chest with a ball that would stick to the ball. It was like that little Giants movie where the kid had the stuff
and
on
his
fingers
together.
And he's pulling his fingers back and he can't get it apart. Yeah, and he puts his hand on his head.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what stick'em was. But I'm going to tell you what a great athletic play that big guy made, and he scored, right? He scored a touchdown. That was unbelievable. Let's talk a little bit right now about the other game last night. Let's talk a little bit
the
about
the Saints-Lions game.
Look, I hate to brag, but I had this all the way. I had the Saints minus 11, minus 10.5. I don't care what you had. There was no way this team wasn't. After loading up and totally messing me over the week before, and by the way, I apologize. NHBowl.com, if you go to NHBowl.com, you'll see Bruce Hall Sports ended up 5th place nationally at the end of the season, and they go by the regular season. I went from 1st to 5th in 1 week because Detroit somehow scored 41 points and couldn't cover against a Green Bay team playing Matt Flynn, who sat six receivers. I apologize. I got off the Redskins. Got off the Philadelphia Eagles late. Roy and I were coming back listening to that game. We were both stopping on the side of the road just to throw up because the Redskins were so bad.
They're terrible.
They should have been ahead at halftime. And they ended up losing that game, but I got off of that game. I should have stayed on that game. I loved Atlanta all week, and then I decided, you know what? I can't take this team. It's too obvious. It's a trap. No, they only went out 45-0, and it probably could have been the NFC or NFL play of the year. Yeah, they could have been, but anyway, the New Orleans Saints last night 14-10 at halftime, going back and forth. They turned the ball over twice on the ground, two fumbles, not Drew Brees interceptions, two fumbles, and they went in at halftime. Well, that's why I fell asleep, because I was all over New Orleans. I was all over 58.5 points. That was a lot of points.
Well, when the Saints play,
yeah,
it's pretty easy to take the over there. I mean, it's,
yeah,
the
but
Saints
if it was that
Packers,
easy, we would have a lot of millionaires driving around that play games
well,
in
how,
Vegas.
How high are we going to have to get the overs to? I mean, come on.
Here's
the Saints
thing,
just
though,
put up 45.
But that over, more people bet the under than did the over. That's
fine by me.
Yeah,
you
but
keep that under.
But that's why. But listen to what I'm saying. If you're a handicapper or you're a player, or if you just like absolutely, you know, like dealing with games that have to do with NFL games and their point spread, you know, you can't be afraid of an over, ever. You cannot be afraid of an over. At the same time, you can't be afraid of an under. There's an under today that I'll bet you ends up getting played up by the end of the day, and that's the Pittsburgh-Denver game. You know, that's 33.5. That's like 17-16 is barely a winner, and there's no points in a 17-16 game. But you know what? That could easily be a 17-16 game.
The Steelers, I was on Cleveland last week.
I know. Why?
It hit.
Yeah, I know, but why? Why would anybody be on Cleveland, period?
Look, I didn't think Cleveland was going to win.
I have a rule when I handicap. Don't play bad teams unless the number just knocks you out. They did cover, though.
They did.
He had to put the ball on the ground three times.
And I see the same kind of game happening again this week. Pittsburgh has come out and said that 80% of their game today is going to work out of the shotgun because of Ben's ankle.
Right.
Now, how much can you really do out of shotgun? How much can you really show out of shotgun?
Right.
If you're not gunning the ball.
Well, here's the problem with Ben. The ankle that he's sprained is not going to help him.
No.
He's going to be high with every throw. And you know what? Denver's going to play a lot of two deep zone. They match up real good at the corners. They got Champ Bailey, who's a Hall of Fame corner, shutdown corner, probably the best corner the Redskins ever had, except Daryl Green and Martin Mayhew, who's now the general manager of Detroit Lions and looks like a world beater as a GM. And by the way, and I know I sound like Tangent Tom, and for you New Yorkers that don't think we're going to talk about the Giants and the Jets, oh, we are.
Oh, we'll get there.
We're gonna spend probably a half hour to 45 minutes on your teams because we're so proud of one of them, and we're so going to throw it in your face of the other. And I got to tell you, But talking about Pittsburgh right now, look at all the guys they have out. They've got Ryan Clark out, who made Sean Taylor his rookie year. Ryan Clark did not sign with the Redskins because the Pittsburgh Steelers gave him an extra $1 million bonus.
Well, and a genius named Vinny Serrato, who was GM at that time.
He wasn't even GM. He didn't have the title.
Well, he decided to bring in a guy named Adam Archuleta.
Yeah, and we gave him like $100 million,
yeah,
and I don't
and
think he played
him,
five snaps.
Make him the highest paid safety of all
in
time.
In the history of the
and,
NFL.
And
at the time,
benched him to play special teams. So
hey,
thank you,
hey,
Vinny Serrato.
Hey, Adam Archuleta, Vinny, I hope you got a 30% kickback from that, because if you didn't, you're always going to go down as probably the world's worst decision maker. And
he's
unfortunately
terrible.
For Mr. Snyder, and I'm going to say Mr. Snyder because I don't
Mr.
know enough.
Snyder.
He's not my friend. I can't call him Dan.
I will call him
and he doesn't like anybody to call him Danny or Daniel.
I will call him Danny.
You know what?
You'll get used to it, Danny.
Hey, listen, I heard Mike you know, Shanny, Mike Shanahan called him Dan the other day.
Daniel?
So they must be tight. They, I mean, they got to be tight.
Well,
they,
right now, Danny,
I mean, they,
and
I bet they go
to be.
Dinner together and stuff.
Well, I mean, Danny boy. Daniel's
it's so sad here in Washington. We don't even want to go there. I just hope the Jets fans don't go through the same problem. Now the Jets have a pretty good organization.
They do.
And you know, Tannenbaum has done a great job.
And he's been there for a while. He knows the organization.
Yeah, and he's gone through the ropes. Hey, and you know what? For the most part, he's done a pretty good job with personnel.
He has.
The Jets guy.
I mean, they brought in the past offseason, without a lockout there, the Jets could be singing a completely different song.
Didn't they bring
now.
Bart Scott in, like, out of nowhere?
When Ryan came over from the Ravens,
he went over to his
Scott.
House at 12:01 a.m.
Scott and Leonard came over with Ryan from the Ravens.
Right.
But, I mean, they got Plaxico Burress in the offseason.
Plax.
It turned out exactly how everyone thought it was going to turn out.
Yeah.
As in, a red zone weapon. That's what you get out of Plaxico Burress, is a red zone weapon. So you get.
You just don't want to go out with him after midnight when he's wearing sweatpants.
Little loser here.
But he's a red zone weapon, and give him another year into that system. Look, I'm not saying the Jets are going to be back on top, back in an AFC championship game like they have been the last 2 years. Next year, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes.
Yeah!
Yes, I see the Jets in the playoffs next season because they brought in a bunch of people.
Yeah, they did.
And a lockout will hold you back when that happens.
No, it definitely hurt them.
Look at all the teams who went out and made multiple moves last offseason. They're all sitting at home.
And listen, they're right now there's thousands of New Yorkers screaming at their radios, whether they're in the car or at home. What about Sanchez? He sucks. Hey, let me tell you something. You're right. He is terrible. And he's not terrible.
But he's better than Joe Flacco.
No, you know,
he is better than Joe
Flacco.
So
then why don't they just make a trade? Hello?
You want to just go straight up?
Yeah, why not? Well, according to you, it would be a straight up trade.
Here's the difference between Joe Flacco and Mark Sanchez.
Yes, 7 inches in height.
That doesn't matter. It's how much confidence that
one of them drools and one of them doesn't know where he is.
How much confidence is given to that quarterback within the offense?
Right.
Joe Flacco is not even allowed to make checks to the line.
Hey,
when Cam Cameron says this is the play, that's the play.
Let me tell you something. Mark Sanchez would be a much better underwear model than Joe Flacco.
He's much better.
He's got a future after football, Sanchez. Hell, he could get cut and probably make $2 million a year.
Now,
maybe not.
Mark Sanchez was allowed to throw the ball in New York. He was allowed to make checks of the line.
10-20 yards downfield.
He was allowed to get in different formations, including the Wildcat, where we saw him be incredibly scared of a block. But there is much more confidence in Mark Sanchez in New York in that system than there is in Joe Flacco in Baltimore.
What about Captain Santonio Holmes? What was up with that?
First of all, why is he your captain?
If you're going to have a captain, make it somebody like London Fletcher. What? Okay? Don't make it somebody like Santonio Holmes.
Why is Holmes your captain? I don't know.
He's a wide receiver, so A, he's probably halfway out of his mind. About the only wide receiver that I would want to be in a public office and have anything to do with decisions would be like Larry Fitzgerald. He's like an all-American guy.
He's a good guy.
If you follow
Blackman,
on,
Blackman is out of OK State.
The kid from OSU? Oklahoma State?
He is going to be a star in the NFL, and he's the
kind
of...
The Redskins need him so bad.
He's the kind of character guy that I would have as
like
a
Tebow.
Captain.
Like Tebow. There's a big article in the paper.
Tebow, RG3,
Rick
Blackman. I mean, these are some character guys that... Those are, when you think of a young captain, those are the guys that I think of, not a Holmes.
Right.
Holmes has always been the kind of guy who is like, give me the ball, watch what I do with it kind of person. And when he doesn't get the ball, you know, things are going to suffer. So why is he your captain? I don't know. Maybe that's just the character of the New York Jets right now. They're loud, outspoken people, and Santonio Holmes has the biggest mouth. Give the seat to the guy with the biggest mouth.
Yeah, they agree with you. Listen, here's the problem right now, the way I see it. We got a little bit of a problem with a guy who is the head coach. Now, the Jets organization's a good organization. They're probably going to give Ryan another year.
Because
with his mouth, you don't necessarily have to give him two or three. You know, you could let him go. I know he's, you know, it's hard to find good. Look, It's hard to find good coaches right now. A lot of them won't come out. Gruden says he's not coaching. You know, the nice thing is the guy from Tennessee is going to end up in either Miami or he's going to end up in St. Louis. I think Fisher's going to St. Louis personally. I mean, I just think that there's more money there. It's indoors. Here's the only problem with Jeff Fisher taking the job there. When's he going to wear his sunglasses? I mean, the guy's a Southern California Oakley, you know, vendor. I mean, the guy probably makes $4 million a year selling sunglasses for Oakley. I'm just telling you, he can't. If you wear sunglasses inside, people are going to think you got problems with your eyes. And then they're going to start looking at you funny during press conferences. And then, you know, things get, it's like that commercial. Then you get an eye patch. Then when you get an eye patch, people think you're tough. Then they want to find out how tough you are. Then you find yourself in a ditch on the side of the road. You know, I mean, those things can lead to something. I'm Bruce Hall, by the way. Go to my website. You can read the blog. It's not nearly as long as it is.
I'm Bruce Hall. I wrote that joke, by the way.
Yeah. You know, that's Roy. That's Roy G saying that. But anyway, my point is that go to BruceHallSports.com or go to SportsManCave.com.
Yes, sir.
Check out what we got going on. You can follow us along today. We're going to have another hour and a half of just fun and talking about everything. We're going to break down the next thing we're going to do here before we get to the games at hand of the day. And for you Giant fans, you won't be disappointed because everybody knows that I like Tom Coughlin and everybody knows I like the Giants. But you know what? It took a late play last week. Actually, it was on the show when I picked the Giants last week. Remember?
Yeah.
I picked the Jets. What happened to the Jets?
I was a loser in both those games. I had the Jets and I had the Cowboys.
Believe that they would do that. I mean, it's just unreal. How do you blow a game like that to the Miami Dolphins, who have nothing to play for except for Todd Bowles, former free safety for the Washington Redskins? I hope Todd Bowles gets the job. He probably won't. It's Miami.
Well, they'll
pull Jimmy Johnson out of retirement. You know, he's tired of fishing for bonefish in the Keys or something.
Miami had to send their D lineman off in style in Taylor.
Oh, he is so weird. Is it me or is he just weird?
He's a good
There's not
guy.
That there's anything wrong with that.
Weird people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm serious. Weird people. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, let's talk about the way that the standings ended up this year. And let's talk about these teams. And let's talk about who might be the right fit, the right coach at the right spot.
The thing with the coaches this year.
Right.
I mean, and you're exactly right. You touched on it a little bit when you said who's out there.
They're
all recycled coaches at this point people are looking at.
Good old boy network. That's
so
the way it works.
You know what you're getting when
John Fox, John Fox, John Fox, John Fox. Every time I see him do, maybe it's me, you guys, but every time I see John Fox at a press conference, I want to stick my finger down my throat. He's terrible.
Yeah, but he's
terrible.
He's done a great job this year.
Doing what?
Coaching that team.
Tebow pulled him out of the hole.
Well,
Tebow reached down into the abyss.
Who got
called hell?
Who
and pulled John Fox by the neck up and said, "Coach, I got your back, baby."
Whose decision was it to get rid of Brandon Lloyd when Brandon Lloyd wanted the ball and didn't want to run block?
Well, Brandon Lloyd's done that since his first game in the NFL.
And they got rid of him. And then whose idea was it to completely change systems to let Tebow do his thing?
I don't know. I wasn't there holding a candle, as the French say.
I mean,
were you?
Look, I'm just saying, Fox has to get a little
bit. I got to give Roy crap. He doesn't have a clue.
Fox has to get a little bit of credit for letting Tebow do his thing here. I mean, he put all his eggs in the Tebow basket, so to speak.
And how many guys can lose three games in a row and back into the playoffs? Last week, Cincinnati got beat and didn't cover for me, thank you. And Denver got beat. And they both made the playoffs. They both made the playoffs. That's why yesterday's games, and really Denver, to a certain extent today, isn't that big a game to me, because you know they don't hardly belong there. They're 8-8. Nobody's expecting them to win. You said to me, even the people in Denver don't expect to win.
I've been listening to a lot of Denver radio the past week,
is really hard to do sometimes.
And they basically won their Super Bowl by making it to the playoffs. People in Denver are ecstatic. They don't believe that they're going to beat the Steelers. The talks go. Somebody calls in and says, "Oh, we did good. This was a great season. And then the host will say something like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to, you know, it doesn't matter if we beat the Steelers this week or not because we made the playoffs and we've played like crap.
Loser. Speaking of losers, and man, why didn't John Elway have his teeth replaced? I can't figure that out.
Because he's the logo of the Denver Broncos.
You know what he is? He is the logo. He looks a lot like that guy.
He is.
He might have a more mane than the logo, though.
He's
more
the,
mane.
He's the logo.
The mane. I'm Bruce Hall.
Roy G.
Like, gee whiz. And this is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're getting ready for a big game. I just hope I can stay awake today. I can. I think everybody knows. Nobody cares, but I coach high school wrestling, and Saturdays are big for us, and I have my voice today. I can thank my assistant coaches for that. Anyway, let's talk about the AFC East real quick. The New England Patriots. You know, definitely the class of the NFC East. You know, they just keep doing it. They're 13-3, basically playing with guys off the street, offensive wide receivers.
At corner.
Playing corner and sometimes in the nickel.
He did that with Deion Branch in the past. I mean, he does. That's what the Patriots are known for, making the most out of their players.
They find their athletes.
They do.
And you know what? The guy's, he's not a genius. He is what's determined to be a genius. He's a great coach.
He is.
His father was a great coach. He's been around great coaches. And I like Belichick. You know, he's not the guy that I would hire to do 2 hours at
anything.
Yeah, because he's going to talk for 5 minutes, tell you the same thing over and over and leave. But I like the Jets. They went 13-3. They scored 513 points, but they gave up 342 points. The thing I like about New England, and the thing that if you handicap pro football, or any football for that matter, is look at the away game record. If an away game record is like 5-3, 6-2, you got a playoff team there. Don't even look at the home record. The home record really doesn't mean anything. If they're losing home games, it means they have a problem at home, kind of with the way they get ready for a game. Might even be Saturday. Might be hotel plans. Because most teams will stay in a hotel the night before a game. They don't let them go home. Because they got to keep them there. They got to be at meetings. They got to do that. That's why you hear about guys not starting. Because they missed curfew the night before or something. That's from the hotel. They don't check on them at their house. The Jets, do we need to go there? They need help.
They
need help. And I don't think they're going to get the kind of help they need until they get a quarterback. Would you agree with that?
You don't
even want to say it, but it's kind of true.
I'll give Sanchez
his numbers are okay. What was he, 78 quarterback rating, something like that? I mean, he's close.
I'll give Sanchez a half a season. I think the Jets need to go out and draft or find a quarterback that will at least back him up at this point. Because let's face it, if Sanchez does go down, do you really have faith in Mark Brunell?
Well, I didn't have faith in Mark Brunell when he was the Redskins quarterback.
I mean, that is...
I watched him get 80 yards. I watched the Redskins beat Tampa Bay. How many years ago was that? 10? 8? That was when Sean Taylor and LeVar Arrington were playing together. And I saw them beat Tampa because they got 100 yards and Tampa only got 80 yards. But Mark Brunell, I think that day, threw for like 38 yards passing.
I mean, Mark Brunell, to think that he is still in the NFL right now,
well, you know, he's
just completely mind-blowing to me. Now, I know he's a backup. And I know that he filed for bankruptcy or had all kinds of money problems.
He must be doing something right.
And now New York is just kind of like letting him pay his bills.
Yeah, they need his roster spot. I think somebody needs to go have a talk with Mark, give him a hug, and go, we love you, buddy.
I don't know if they think that Brunell can mentor Sanchez, if that's what they're going at here. You know, they both have knee problems. They both can barely run. I don't know if that's the deal there.
I think that's funny.
It's like two quarterbacks that have knee. Who else had a knee problem? Mark. Let's grab Mark Brunell and keep him on the sideline because he had knee problems and wasn't very good at times. Maybe he can teach Mark Sanchez how to have knee problems and not be very good at times.
All right. Well, LaDainian Tomlinson is retiring. LaDainian Tomlinson went on some wild show yesterday and said that he's probably done with the NFL. Didn't we say he was done much earlier this season?
I wanted to believe that.
Yeah, but
that
you had him on your fantasy team, probably.
No, I did draft him with one of my buddies.
That's me laughing, not the crowd here at the studio.
I did draft him on one of my buddy's teams. My buddy walked away from the computer.
You're a good friend.
Well, he had a kick.
Hey, I got you, LT. thanks, Roy.
No, I got him. It was like round.
Did you give me Mark Brunell too, just in case Sanchez goes down?
It was round 14, and he had a kicker queued up and walked away. And I was like, "What do you? Why are you drafting a kicker in round 14? This is the dumbest thing in the world." He walked away. I drafted him, Danny Amendola and LT, and then got him a kicker.
Danny Amendola is a player.
I love Danny Amendola.
Yeah, but he was out all year.
Yeah,
right?
He got hurt. Ah, so my two guys that I drafted him were, but he still got the same kicker. He got Billy Kundis.
Somebody sooner or later is going to do a comparison on this year's injury list and last year's and the years in past, and they're going to find out that this year we're probably up 20-30%.
Oh, it was
and that's because nobody got to work out. The lockout killed a lot of people,
including the Jets and entire Jets team and the Eagles.
Hey, yeah, I'm so glad Tennessee didn't get the playoffs. They almost got in. That would have been ridiculous.
Well, the AFC this entire year.
What do you think about the Dolphins? They need a coach. Todd Bowles is there, and he has interviewed for the job. Now, one of the reasons he interviewed, and I forget the rule, what they call it, but you have to
the Rooney Rule.
Yeah, you have to interview X amount. Of minorities, period, when you have an opening for any position. I think general manager, head coach, you know, the whole deal. And, you know, Todd is African-American, but I got to tell you, I hope he gets the job. Because the guy has been a great assistant coach for a long time.
Well, they've been talking about a name that's been thrown around in Miami as of recently, which is people in Pittsburgh are very familiar with, in Cower.
Is it the guy from CSI Miami? No.
Bill Cower.
What's his name? The redhead. I like him.
Bill Cower has been
like the girl better.
Rumored to be interested and listening to talks in Miami about that job. Now,
AFC. It's an AFC job, which means he'd have most of the people when Cower was coaching are gone almost.
And
now.
He doesn't have to deal with the snow. Most old people go and retire.
He's
in
not
Florida
old.
Anyways.
He's like 52, 53.
He's old. He's old.
I'm like 6 years older than him, little pipsqueak.
He's old.
Why don't we wrestle 6 minutes and see who's old?
Says the wrestling coach.
Yeah, hey, I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy Edwards over there getting ready to go down for the count. And we're talking NFL football now. How about Buffalo? What do you think about Buffalo? Is Chan Gailey's coming back?
I mean, Buffalo has...
I don't see them making a move, do you?
I Buffalo's on the up. I think that you can't look at this season as a disappointment for the Buffalo Bills. As easy it is to call it.
Boy, they came out of the dag going, they were ready to play.
Yeah, and then they started getting banged.
You think they cheated during the lockout?
No.
I heard they did.
Oh, come on.
That's
now.
Just me. I'm just kidding.
The Buffalo Bills
Ryan Fitzpatrick wouldn't cheat. Not a Harvard guy.
The Buffalo Bills are a bunch of young guys who nobody knows, who put it together and had a decent year. Now,
hey,
they're still building.
Are you looking at my website or are you looking at your website? Go to either brucehallsports.com if you want to see my blog and follow us when we go to the games. Or go to sportsmancave.com, follow Roy G's website. He's got a pretty cool one going on over there. I'm Bruce Hall, that's Roy Edwards. And we're talking NFL football on 12:30 AM WFAS and Buffalo. We were talking about the Buffalo Bills, which really, to be honest with you, we don't want to spend too much time on because we don't think they're very good. And
they're getting
and they
better.
Go to Canada to play two games a year.
They're on the
what's up with that?
They're on the up and up. They're not the Buffalo Bills that they were a couple years ago. They're getting better. They still have a bunch of no names on their team who
they had a great running back who went down.
Season they had to deal with injuries. Fitzpatrick.
They had everybody.
Got a new contract and all of a sudden crapped the bed a little bit, but
wasn't his fault.
It
was his offensive line went to hell in a handbasket.
The Bills could win this division in a couple of years. I don't see them being relevant anytime soon, but I think they have a shot. Especially,
Roy.
Also call it a laughing matter that the Bills beat the Patriots this year. I mean, the Patriots defense. Sucks. The Patriots defense is almost as bad as the Green Bay defense.
You know what I think happened in that Buffalo-New England game? Besides a lot of exciting plays, because I saw that was a good game.
Well, Buffalo won.
Yeah, I know, but you know what I liked about that game?
What did you like about
the fact that I didn't have New England in that game. I had Buffalo. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well,
Thank
Buffalo you. Has had New England's number, and I think it has a lot to do with that. New England's defense is straight poo-poo.
So let me get this straight, Roy.
Poo-poo.
Buffalo could win the AFC East sometime. Can
Two
you
years.
Give? Can you give?
Two years. 2 years.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that was some dude from Buffalo. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. Let's get out of the AFC East and go to the North. This is your favorite division.
I love this
division.
And
by the way, this is the NFL's probably most potent division.
Right now.
You just can't really look at Cleveland very long.
No, don't look at Cleveland at all.
But I'd say Baltimore-Pittsburgh's a toss-up. Two great organizations. Ozzie Newsome putting together that. He put together one of the best drafts in the history of drafts ever. What year was that?
1996.
God, you're amazing. That and they weren't. Were they the Ravens then?
They were. That was their first year as the Ravens.
And then, God, it's hard to believe they've been in Baltimore for 15 years.
They drafted Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis.
I must be getting old.
Hall of Famers.
Because I remember. Hall of Famers. Hey, and boy, did they put it on Pittsburgh first week of the season.
They did.
The problem with Pittsburgh right now is Pittsburgh can't score a lot of points. I mean, and see, and we're going to be talking about that at the top of the hour when we go over the games. We are going to be going over the games, people, and I'm going to be leaving you a minimum of two or three picks. I might even get wild and give you my phone number and have you call me later, and I'll tell you who I'm really picking.
For 99 cents a minute.
I'm just kidding. The Steelers, you know, the Steelers are always going to be a great organization. Hey.
If they stay to what they are.
Hey, let me just say
they're
this.
Starting to get away from who the Steelers are and the fact that they're starting
They're throwing too much.
They're throwing way too much. The fact that they're going to – this is what bobbles my mind. They said eight
you know,
boggles.
You know, for a 25-year-old –
I was hoping bobbles? That nobody was going to catch that. Bobbles.
That was good, Roy. Bobbles?
This is what boggles.
His mind is bobbling.
My mind.
I'm bobbling your head.
Is that the Steelers, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers, came out and said 80% of our plays are going to be out of the shotgun. This is the Steelers who are known for running the football and playing tough-nosed defense, and now they're saying that they're going to play 80% in shotgun?
Well, you know, I wonder how much of that's going to be with the no back, you know, with five guys spread out, too. If they do that, they got a better chance of Ben not getting killed because it's not going to help keeping one guy in to chip a linebacker or a defensive end who's blowing
and
in there to beat him
in?
Up.
Who are you going to keep in? I mean, Mendenhall was probably one of your best blockers.
Well, Manuel D. Moore isn't even playing today.
Who is probably your best blocker.
They're in big trouble today. I really think, and we're going to get to this later, all these people in the country who are all over the Steelers, good for you. Because you're gonna throw the lineup around, and we're going to be two-wording it probably later. We're going to talk about it a lot. What's the two words?
Tim Tebow?
Yeah, that's it. Tim Tebow. You know, Tim Tebow fresh off three losses in a row. Talking about bringing Brady Quinn in, please. Brady Quinn would not have a chance.
Brady Quinn.
Brady Quinn would get broken
in that game. Remember when the Broncos traded Peyton Hillis for Brady Quinn straight up?
Yeah, what
Does
was
Does anybody remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good trade.
What a terrible trade.
That was a horrible trade. Nobody talks about that. Hey, so anyway, Baltimore-Pittsburgh, we like them both. They'll both be back in the playoffs next year, we think. Well, I don't think anybody in the
I think all
East
three
is,
of these teams. I think all three of those teams are back in the playoffs.
Cincinnati.
The
see, you like Cincinnati
more
than
Cincinnati.
I do. You like them a lot more than I do, though.
I love the upside there. I love that the fact that they're going to. It's not even a question. But, they're going to have.
But you know what? Their
two first round draft picks
you know,
the next 2 years.
But you know what? Their biggest problem is their biggest problem is their ownership, just like the Redskins' ownership.
Yeah,
it's never going to get but so good.
If you give the Redskins
you got the Brown family running it.
If you give the Redskins two first-round draft picks in the next 2 years, I mean, you're going to get something out of that. You're going to get a little bit better, especially if you're the Redskins and you suck.
Hey, Mike Shermer's coming back to Cleveland.
I mean,
think about that.
You don't even have to draft if you're Cincinnati. You don't even have to draft. You can take those two first-round draft picks and go get somebody.
Yeah.
That is already a name out there.
No,
and
I agree.
Could probably get a young guy.
So next year, you figure we're looking at pretty much the same thing. Maybe everybody wins 10, 11, 12 games.
I think next year.
And the Browns, do you think they'll win five or three?
The Browns are staying in the basement.
That's what I expect.
Because the Bengals are going to get
that
much
better.
And you
know who else is there? Buffalo Bill. The Buffalo Bills are staying there.
The Buffalo Bills are not going to be
in the East.
They're not going to be in the basement.
Hey, you know what? Let's go to the South row here real quick. The South.
The
division.
AFC South?
Yeah. Houston. I think they're back. I don't see Houston getting worse.
Now,
they've had some major injuries
like I
all
said,
year.
I've listened to a lot of Indianapolis radio
right.
the last week, and Indianapolis is talking about how this team didn't, or this season didn't even happen.
Right.
I mean, they looked, the schedule came out for next year, and they are saying, oh, counting the games. Oh, so we're going to start off 4-1. It's like, who do you guys think you are?
Right.
That you think that you're going to, that you just put together one of the worst seasons in NFL history, and now you're going to turn it around and be the Indianapolis Colts again after you just fired your GM and his little buddy boy.
They gave up 430 points this year.
They are terrible. Their defense is terrible.
And that wasn't the most amount of points given up.
Their defense is built around Peyton Manning playing with a lead.
Right.
They play with a pass rush, and they try to turn you over. And when there's no Peyton Manning, what are you going to do then?
Roy, what do you think the chances of Peyton coming back and starting the first game next season are?
For the Colts?
Yeah.
90%.
Okay, so you think he'll be ready?
He's back.
Well, I hope you're right, because I still haven't heard anybody tell me that he's going to be ready.
These are the two things that Indianapolis are talking about.
You've been listening. Yeah,
I have.
Okay, okay.
These are the two things that Indianapolis is talking about right now. They are saying they're going to draft Luck
right,
and sit him behind Peyton Manning.
Right.
Or they're going to trade away the number one pick.
Right.
To, say, Cleveland.
Or and, Washington.
Or Washington, right. Whoever's going to give him the most, and stay in the top 10 and draft a playmaker like RG3 or a Blackman and build towards the future.
And they might even be able to pick up a couple of number twos with that trade.
And that's it.
Well, they need that. They need
that. I haven't heard one thing that meant that so far as mentions Manning being anywhere but Indianapolis.
All right, for you NFL people out there that know the NFL pretty well, where'd Bob Sanders go? He's out of football now.
Yeah, well,
he's basically out of football because of an injury.
He wasn't even a Colt last year, and he had a torn bicep.
I mean, he was their defense for how many years? 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Solid, you know, strong safety. Come up, I think it was a free safety. Come up on every play like a linebacker, just a monster. He was like Darren Sproles, only the defensive Darren Sproles.
He was good.
Yeah, they need a lot of defensive help, especially in the secondary
and
stuff.
They're
probably 3 or 4 years away from being back in the playoffs. I don't think Peyton gets them there.
Well,
I don't think he gets them there.
He changes Indianapolis greatly because, like I said, they built their entire defense around Peyton Manning.
Right.
When you have pass rushers and you have a turn-me-over defense, then you're allowed to have Peyton Manning go out there and run the show.
All right, how about Tennessee? What do you think about the Tennessee Titans?
Forget about Tennessee.
They were 9-7.
I don't care.
Okay.
Who's their quarterback?
Yeah, exactly.
Matt Hasselbeck? I mean, can you
not Matt Hasselbeck. Oh, yeah, it's Matt Hasselbeck. It's Matt Hasselbeck.
Can you really rely on Matt Hasselbeck another year? I'm going to go with no.
What do you think they're going to do with Locker?
Jake Locker? I think that he'll come in and start about halfway through the season next year, and that's going to be the big nosedive in Tennessee.
You know, that guy would have been a good guy for the Redskins to have ended
up with. I like Jake Locker.
Well, they talked about drafting him last year.
Shanahan loved Jake Locker, and
right.
I love Jake Locker. He had a great year, his junior year in Washington, and then his senior year in Washington didn't look as good. All of a sudden, fell from the number one.
Well, the team wasn't nearly as good either.
Right, and he fell from what was arguably the number one overall pick to the Tennessee Titans. I think they got him at
all right, your buddy Maurice Jones-Drew ended up getting another rushing title in Jacksonville. What do you think about Jacksonville, Roy? I don't think they're going anywhere.
I don't think they're going anywhere either, which is the problem in Jacksonville.
Right.
They
only scored 243 points in 16 games.
They averaged 12 points a game and were terrible. Now, you do have a cornerstone to build there in Maurice Jones-Drew. Now,
boy, what a little stud that guy is.
The problem that I see with Jacksonville is, listen to the draft order that is for next season.
Right, for them.
Indianapolis, St. Louis, Minnesota, Cleveland, Tampa Bay. Here's where it gets bad for Jacksonville. Washington drafts ahead of Jacksonville.
Right.
So how many of those teams need a quarterback? Indianapolis says they're going to draft one. Okay. Minnesota, do they need a quarterback? Maybe. Ponder looked okay. Cleveland, do they need a quarterback? Yes.
Yeah, they're
Colt
saying
McCoy,
basically they did.
Is Colt McCoy going to be a Brown
Holmgren
next year?
Holmgren basically didn't give him a show of support this past week when he was asked that question in a press conference. He said, absolutely, I'm not saying we don't need to draft a quarterback.
Then you look at Washington. Does Washington need a quarterback?
They need two quarterbacks.
Yes.
Yeah, they need two quarterbacks.
That's the problem.
Just in case we screw up with one.
That's the problem for Jacksonville is Indianapolis says they're going to draft Luck
right.
or trade away to Cleveland, who's going to draft a quarterback.
Right.
So there's two quarterbacks right there. Indianapolis, Cleveland, the third quarterback, Washington, unless there's some movement. So if you're Jacksonville, you got to move up to get a quarterback.
Yeah, but they just drafted Blaine Gabbert.
Who's terrible.
Yeah, you and I know that, but I don't know that they think that.
Now,
Think this kid is okay, just so got this phenomenal arm. You and I, you know I hate it.
Jacksonville needs a lot. They need a lot. They don't just need a quarterback.
Right.
So what do you go after there? Do you go after a receiver? You need a playmaker receiver. I can't even really name a receiver on the Jacksonville Jaguars that's worth mentioning.
I think they need offensive linemen is okay. What they need.
So,
Because Drew got that yardage without a lot of really good offensive linemen.
Well, you know where the best offensive lineman is going to end up? And that's St. Louis.
Right. Well, sure.
So you're not...
St. Louis needs the help, too.
So if you're Jacksonville, you're not getting the best quarterback.
Right.
You're not getting the best offensive lineman.
Agreed.
You're not getting the best receiver. And so, to me, if you're Jacksonville, you have to move up to be of any kind of relevance anywhere.
I agree. Let's go to the next group, the West in the AFC. God, you know, I said the NFC East could possibly have four teams 8-8 at the start of the season. It was the AFC West that had three teams 8-8 and one team 7-9 that a lot of people in midseason were picking to be the team that would win it. Kansas City. Denver lost three in a row. San Diego came back and won four out of their last five. Oakland, you know,
Oakland's screwed.
Had a serious problem. But I will say one great thing for the Oakland Raiders right now. They ended up getting a great front office guy in Reggie McKenzie.
And he's going to have to show how great he is.
He is great. He's been the director of pro personnel for the Green Bay Packers for like the last 10, 12 years.
Well, they don't have a first-round draft pick for the next 2 years.
Well, you know what? That's why he's there.
Good luck, Oakland.
Well, you know what? Oakland's got some players. Oakland's going to have to wheel and deal for a while, but when they get back into building their team from the draft, you know, Oakland's has had problems for several years with that for one reason. Al Davis. Al Davis basically was the GM and owner of the Raiders. You know, who's helping him out? I have no idea at this point. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Oakland Raiders are in good hands with McKenzie in the front office. He's a former Raider. He's also twin brother of Raleigh McKenzie, who's a 17-year pro, was a hog with the Redskins, ended up playing in Philly for 3 years. Actually, Juan Castillo, the guy that got hammered all year for being their defensive coordinator and who actually is one of the best offensive line coaches in football, was his offensive line coach, was Raleigh's. Reggie's going to do fine. And I got to tell you, I'm so happy to see him get this job. He's going to the Bay Area from Green Bay, Wisconsin, where he's lived for 12 years. That's like dying and going to heaven, except for the football part. I mean, it's the ice age up there. The Bay Area is a little bit different. It'll be a great place for him and his family, and I'm happy for him. San Diego, can you believe North Turner did not lose his job?
That's what I don't understand.
What happened there? I mean, you know what? The only thing I can figure is North has to
be the greatest salesman alive to sell himself to get another year out of this.
I mean, he talks
look at the
like
stats,
that.
All right, look at the stats.
Norv takes like 5 minutes to get three sentences out, so I don't know that he's the best salesman. But I will say this:
he made a PowerPoint presentation.
I think Philip Rivers had everything to do with that because every quarterback I've ever known, including John Freeze, Gus Frerotte, you name the guys that you never know. Rich Gannon. They love Norv Turner. The first thing they would say about Norv Turner, because his offense is very quarterback friendly.
It is.
It's all about Dan Fouts ran Norv Turner's offense. It was just Don Coryell's offense. His offense is Don Coryell's offense. It hasn't changed hardly at all. The only thing they did in Dallas that they didn't do in San Diego was they had a guy named Emmitt Smith running the football for three Super Bowls.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a good dancer.
He's
a great dancer. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. We're on Bruce Hall's second opinion.
It's
my special and my second opinion. And we're looking forward to the second half of the show. We're going to go over all the games for today. Kansas City, you know, Kansas City Chiefs.
They're a mess.
They still haven't hired anybody yet.
And Kyle Orton is a free agent.
Yeah, but I think they're going to sign him, don't you?
Well, I don't know. You got a guy named Matt Castle who's still on your payroll,
yeah.
Still, quote-unquote, your number one guy.
And he's a New England guy. which is what Paoli
is. So now you got two quarterbacks, which isn't always a problem, but somebody out there said if you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
Is Crennel going to get the job?
I hope so.
I do, too, because I think he deserves a second chance, and it's not like he's getting the Giant or the Cowboy job. He's getting the Kansas City Chief job, okay? You know, they went 7-9 this year. They were 10-6. Was it last year? Yeah.
Last year they were 13-3.
Yeah. No. They were 10-6. They made the playoffs.
Were 13-3.
But the thing of it is I don't see them going anywhere fast. But in that division, anybody can win it. San Diego needs some help, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They were having a hard time stopping anybody, in my opinion. I just thought that they had a horrible time with stuff. Let's look at some of the coaches real quick, Roy, before we hit the break. Spagnuolo got fired like we said he would.
Yeah.
He's gone. Fisher's probably going to get that job. It's his if he wants it. Leslie Frazier, gone. Leslie Frazier. Norv Turner, I thought was gone. He stayed. So
Leslie Frazier got fired? Because he didn't bring back Brett Favre.
No, I don't
think. That's probably why it was.
No, it was the guy that sent the plane down to get Favre that should have got fired.
He didn't get it. He didn't get Favre. You don't get the job.
Hey, Raheem Morris, gone. They quit on him.
Yeah.
They laid down.
They made the message loud.
Was it 45-0 at halftime in that game?
It was terrible. It was terrible. And I feel bad for Raheem Morris because of the way that his team gave up on him, he might not see another head coaching job in the NFL.
All right, and I agree. And he just interviewed in three or four different places for a defensive back job or a defensive coordinator job. And he was a Tony Dungy guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good defensive guy, but
he's not a head coach.
He's not a head coach. And the way that his team gave up on him, he's going to have a hard time getting a job.
Well, you know what? Did you see how bad the defense looked in that game?
They looked terrible.
The defense was pathetic. How did Jim Caldwell keep his job so far? Besides the fact that they fired the Polans. They fired Bill and his son.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand that either unless they just don't have anybody in mind. You and I talked about this before the show. There aren't that many good guys out there that are committed to taking a job. It's gotten to the point where nobody really wants an NFL job, not if it's in one of these towns that needs a new coach.
Indianapolis right now is a very tough place to coach because you're about to either enter into a transition period or start a transition period. And
correct.
Do you really want to be the new head coach to come in there and say, we don't need Peyton Manning anymore? Do you want to be that coach? Because I think that Caldwell gets another season, maybe two, to start the transition of Peyton Manning. And then when Peyton Manning is good and done, Caldwell's done, and you bring in the new guy to start off fresh.
You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see who gets the job in Tampa Bay. Because, you know, the owners of the Tampa Bay Bucks own Manchester United, too, which they put a lot more money into than the Bucks. We're getting ready to break here. I'm Bruce Hall.
Roy G.
And we'll be back here after these messages.
Welcome back, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS. I'm Roy G. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. Second half of the show coming at you. Got a lot of New York stuff to talk. Got some Giants, Jets. But, Bruce, what are we starting out with?
We're going to start out with the National Football Conference final standings. Talk about each team briefly. Just have some fun here. Kind of give you what I think is going to be going on. You know, when you're handicapped teams, and when you do what I do, which is break down all the games each week well ahead of time, you got to look for a lot of things. And I don't mind giving it. There's no secrets when you handicap. You're looking for value. You look at a line. First of all, I make all my lines Sunday night before the next week. I've already made the lines, for the playoff games next week, the two that have already been decided. And then when the real lines come out, I take a peek and I go, well, you know, I'm either right on it, I'm a half off, I'm one off. Sometimes I'm two or three off. Well, guess what? I like the side I like. I don't really like the side Vegas likes. I look at it, and a lot of times you'll see them basically turn that direction time to time. And that's what all good handicappers do. There was a guy named Roxy Roxborough out in Vegas for years and years. He made all the lines for all the casinos, it seemed like. Now I'm not sure how they do it because there's so many casinos. And, you know, it got expensive for people to pay him for his lines. But his lines were like gold. You know, that's what my dream job is one day, is waking up, getting up, staying up late Sunday night, figuring out all the lines and throwing them out the next morning. But let's go over the NFC East because this is the one that's closest to our listening audience. And we have a big listening audience also in the D.C. area, Baltimore area. You know, Roy lives in Baltimore. He's from D.C. area, Northern Virginia. So am I. I'm from Northern Virginia. I live there. And we're going to end up going. We're going to end up going through those teams right now. The New York Giants, in my opinion, they're always headed the right direction. Always. They, you know, they have a great organization. They've got great people. And the Mara family, unbelievable people. You know, they hire good people. They've got, in my opinion, one of the top two or three coaches in the NFL and Tom Coughlin.
They have a great actress in the family who is
Rooney Mara. I'm in love with her, and I'm old enough to be her grandfather. Not really, but technically, you know,
who's
I could
the lead?
Be.
She's lead in the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yes, she is.
Who you love her?
I
been
love her. I love. You know what? If she was a boy, our commissioner, Mr. Goodell, wouldn't have a job.
No.
It'd be her job if she wanted it.
I mean, Rooney.
Rooney Mara.
Mara.
Her.
What two families do you think she comes from?
Yeah, her maternal grandfather's Art Rooney Sr. And her dad is like, I want to say he's the head of scouting or he's an executive VP of player development for the Giants. And it's like, you know, how does it get any better than that? And she's a phenomenal actress. If you see that movie, I just pray I read somewhere that she did her own stunts because she kicked the crap out of people. And if you haven't seen the movie, I'm plugging her right now. Go see The Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. It's a book. It's a book you can go out and read. But listen, if you're a New York person and you love the Giants, you got to go see this young lady act. And she's been in a lot of other movies too. More as bit actor actress as a bit actor in them. But she, you know, but I remembered her in those. And that's amazing. But let's talk about the Giants for a second. We got a quarterback. We got a head coach. Okay? We have an offensive line for the most part.
Have a great receiving corps.
That have been up and down from a standpoint of injuries. You know, the Giants have had their share of injuries this year. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. They have a pass rush. They've decided a long time ago that they want to pressure the quarterback. If you do not get in the face of an NFL quarterback, you stand no chance whatsoever of disrupting his timing on his plays. And I'm going to tell you, there are times, I'm pretty sure they carry five defensive ends on their active roster. There's times when they got four defensive ends in rushing the passer. I know they do it with their nickel because I've seen it, especially long yardage, because they're just going to play a little umbrella zone. But I'm going to tell you something. That is one hell of a team. Now their defensive backfield has caught a lot of crap all year long.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that
they've given up more yardage. They've given up more points than they've scored this year.
When the Giants look into this draft, now I know they got Prince and Mcamora in the last draft.
Yeah, and he'll be okay.
And he's been battling injuries. Right. He hasn't been all the way there. Right. When he has played, he's gotten beat. So that doesn't mean that this guy's not going to be a star. That doesn't mean that this guy's not going to butt at some point. But if you're the Giants, I think your top priority has to be that secondary because, yeah, your offensive line a little banged up. It, you know, your running game's not what it was. It's towards the bottom of the league.
They lost their middle linebacker for the whole season right off the get-go, and that didn't help them either. I think the Giants are just – their arrow is definitely pointing up. Eli Manning is coming into his own. Now, I told everybody on this show a couple of times that a source of mine told me – You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this one out. Peyton's been spending a lot of time with his little brother on the phone this year. They've been looking at. I mean, wouldn't you help your little brother out if you were out for the year? Of course. Yeah. These guys are brothers. They're closer than brothers. They're closer than most brothers. They both have the same job in the NFL, and they make tens of millions of dollars. Okay, and they're proud of what they do. I'm glad Eli's having the year he's had because, being in New York's tough. Now, don't get me wrong. He could have been in San Diego, right? But his dad did not want him to be in San Diego, okay?
Which leads you to this Peyton Manning thing. Now it's becoming a family issue if you haven't heard that.
Everybody always asks Archie his opinion. He's a former Heisman Trophy winner. Archie is a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm.
He did come out and apologize, though, but he did say the Indianapolis Colts Peyton Manning quarterbacking position was a family decision. And whenever you hear that, you have to think about Eli not being allowed to play in San Diego. It's like, at some point, you have to let your kids make the decisions. It's like, hey, we want to draft Eli. Can Eli come over and play? No, sorry.
You know what? Eli
can't come play today.
Yeah, but I wonder out loud a lot about this. What would Philip Rivers have been like in New York? I mean, the guy's a wild man.
Yeah.
But he's a family guy. I want to say he's got six or eight kids. He just had like his sixth kid. He's a remarkable guy.
He's allowed.
He went to NC. He's a little bit of a redneck, but that's okay.
I like
him. We're not going to hold it. Well, he's a Southern boy. Philip Rivers went to NC State. Not even sure where he grew up. Oh, I should know this. Atlanta, I think he grew up. And then he went to NC State University, dominated there for 4 years, had a real funny throwing motion. You remember he used to push the ball.
He's still got a funny
throwing motion. He still pushes the ball, but he's going to be a Hall of Famer if he stays healthy 4 or 5 more years.
Well, he has to keep up his play level. He fell off a little bit at the beginning of the season, but he started to pick it up towards the end.
I think a lot of that had to do with having his number one and number two receivers out. That didn't help him much. Hey, look at Rex Grossman. His number one receiver, and we're talking about that. Yeah, Rivers does need a ring.
Yeah. Before we talk any else.
Matt was pointing that out to me. You get a ring, everything gets fixed. I mean, that's amazing because that's what these guys play for.
Trent Dilfer a job with ESPN.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to share something. I'm in the sports entertainment business, have been for almost 30 years. I used to take NFL players to the Super Bowl with me. Just get them a room, make them come to my party. They have a great time. Mostly former Redskins, but a lot of guys from other teams. Almost every guy I always brought had at least one Super Bowl ring. Let me tell you, that's what they play for. When you pull that ring off, and these are huge guys, most of them. And they hand you this 3-pound ring that's a size 20, and you put it on your wrist. It's like, wow, how many diamonds are in this thing? They play for the ring. The ring is all they want. Money's nice, but let me tell you something. Money is never going to buy you a championship. And that's what's going on in the NFL, and that's what we're involved in right now in the playoffs. I'm Bruce Hall.
And Rivers is from Alabama.
Yeah, I told you he was a redneck. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, Tuscaloosa, right? There's a real good ESPN special that's about Roll Tide, War Eagle.
Yeah.
It is absolutely the truth. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If you live in the state of Alabama, you either love Auburn or you love Alabama. You're not in between, and you don't not love either one of them, or somebody will firebomb your house. I mean, it's really tough down there. But you know what? That is the most intense rivalry game you've ever seen in your life. And it's like that every single year. You can go 5-5 and beat Alabama, and you'll have your job at Auburn for as long as you want it.
Yeah. As long as you consistently beat them every year.
All right, the Giants arrow, in my opinion, is going up. The Giants are going to be at least 9-7 next year, maybe 10-6, maybe 11-5 if they get their defense worked out, because they did give up more points, 6 more points against them than they scored this year, and they have a pretty good offense. Philadelphia Eagles are next. This was the dream team, unfortunately, that was labeled that by a backup quarterback who has emotional problems. And, of course, the press in Philly stuck with it when they were, 4-8? But they ended up winning 4 games in a row at the end of the season, right? Philly did. Mm-hmm. They also outscored their opponents by almost 70 points.
And they finished ahead of the Dallas Cowboys. In the
which says it all right there. I mean, Philadelphia, listen. I love the way everybody came out this week, Roy, and said Andy Reid is going to keep his job. Well, no kidding. The guy's been to 7 or 8
All he's done is
championship
win in Philadelphia.
Games. He's not even that old.
Philadelphia will never win a Super Bowl, but Andy Reid got them pretty darn close.
Well, he got if Donovan McNabb doesn't gas in the fourth quarter, they might have won that game.
Well, it's the Eagles will never win a Super Bowl, ever. So as soon as everyone starts, you know, accepting that and just looking at the Eagles for what they are, just a subpar every once in a while playoff contender,
look,
then that's we'll all be a lot happier.
Now, you know how I compare teams. Quarterback coach. Andy Reid, top notch. Mike Vick, one of the best. They're going to be okay next year. They do need...
They will. They'll be good. They will.
Well, you know what? They're going to be a lot better because Juan Castillo will be their offensive line coach again. And they're going to bring in Spagnuolo to be the defensive coordinator.
So you think...
I'm pretty sure that's what they're going to do.
I can't disagree
they're
with you on that.
They're a family. Once you're in the Eagle family, you're always in the Eagle family. If John Gruden wanted a job looking at film in the middle of the night for the Eagles, they'd give him the job because that's what he did at one time. That's where John Gruden started, in Philadelphia. And, you know, and these guys, they're all the same guys. We talked about that. It's a good old boy network, and a lot of these guys are really, really good. You know, the next team we're going to talk about...
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm sorry. I know. I know it's funny to y'all too, but it's really funny to me because I grew up a Redskin fan. Everybody listening to the show is either a Redskin fan or a Raven fan or a New York Jet or Giant fan. Let me just tell you something. We all hate the Cowboys. We all hate the Cowboys. You know, we root for one team every Sunday. Whoever's playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Collectively.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's like when you go to the ACC tournament. I know you hate the Atlantic Coast Conference.
How can you not?
But when you go to the ACC basketball tournament, which is where they have a lot better teams.
Still crap.
No, well, yeah, right.
So did you look at the Big East?
I don't want to
just take a good look at the Big East.
I don't want to go there yet.
70 points on your conference winner.
For those of you that listened to the show last week, yeah, I gave it to Roy pretty good about being a West Virginia fan.
70.
They scored 70 points against Clemson. Did Clemson have all of their starters?
Clemson won the ACC.
They were terrible.
The ACC is terrible.
How do you give up 70 points? And here's the question. Does Geno Smith come out in the draft this year?
No.
Why not?
Because
no?
No.
Oh, he's not that good?
He's not that good.
All right, well, it's good to hear.
He's good.
So
he's good, but
who was the guy throwing for all that yardage in
that
the
That was Geno Smith.
Of course, he was throwing.
And he'll be back.
He was throwing to wide open receivers,
Geno
too.
Smith is going to be a Heisman contender next year.
Oh, he's already a Heisman
contender.
That's
why he's going to come back.
How many teams have scored 70 points in the bowl games?
Zero.
Yeah, just those guys. I got to give it to
you. Just the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Roy, I got to give it to you. West Virginia is one good team.
70 points.
Hey, let's go to the next. Anyway, let's talk about the Dallas,
Cowboys.
Because everybody loves this. Jerry Jones, are you trying to be Dan Snyder?
He said he's not going to fire himself.
Or is Dan Snyder trying to be Jerry Jones? You know, these guys have a mutual admiration society that's unbelievable. I happen to like Jerry Jones and not like Dan Snyder. But I don't like what Jerry Jones is doing to his Dallas faithful. Like I care, okay?
Who cares?
But
I
he
love
is
it.
Torturing.
I mean,
don't you think he's torturing him?
Yes.
He's torturing
Jerry
him.
Jones and, we know and Dan Snyder
are exact two
people. They sit in the mirror next to each other and argue about who's bigger. That's what they do all day. These guys have two of the biggest egos in not the NFL, but not even in sport. I mean, talking worldwide
in business,
here.
In
We're
business,
talking worldwide.
In everything.
These guys, and Dan Snyder kind of had to take a step back, whereas he said, okay, Jerry, you bought that stadium. Guess how many seats I'm going to put in mine. And then what did he have to do?
Yeah,
he had to tear about 10,000 of them
we're
out.
We're shrinking seats in FedEx Field right now because we can't sell out anymore. Because I don't know if you've noticed, the Redskins pretty much suck, okay? And they pretty much suck for one reason and one reason only, the top of the Redskin chain. Now, Jerry is unquestionably the top of the Cowboy chain.
Oh, yeah. He said he wasn't going to fire himself.
But
he's the GM. He's,
but listen.
Oh, well, we had a good year.
His team quit on Wade Phillips last year, wouldn't you admit?
Absolutely.
They quit on him. And they wanted a change. And it was almost like a little mini Princeton coup with Jason Garrett. You know what I mean? Who was, you know, Jerry loves Jason. And Jason is like, you know, he's a lot like Tim Tebow. He's a very faithful guy. You know, not terribly religious, but pretty damn religious. And this guy didn't do a very good job this year. Hell, he froze his own kicker one game. I mean, you know, he did everything he could possibly do to make Tony Romo's life miserable.
Jason Garrett's not even a Cowboys fan. He's like the Cowboys about to kick field goal. Timeout.
That's our guy. That's our guy. You froze our kicker. No, but we all know why he did that. But listen, everybody.
Do we all know why he did that?
Yeah, he did it because.
We all know why.
He hates the Dallas Cowboys. His special teams coach asked him to make
the call. He doesn't want that job anymore. That's why he did it.
I think his special team coach didn't want the job anymore. But anyway, Dallas is going nowhere, in my opinion.
They were two and four.
DeMarco Murray was their only real kind of, you know, plus that I saw, the running back that rushed for 500 yards in one game, became their starter.
He had a couple good games, and all of a sudden, he's the next Emmitt Smith. Oh, no, he's better than Emmitt Smith. Dallas Cowboys, America's team. All right,
they're going nowhere. I'm going to go to the next team, the Washington Redskins.
Oh, they're so good.
They're going nowhere either. Now, here's what we have to decide in Washington. How many of these guys do we even want to keep? Seriously.
Name one. All right, this is not a joke. I'm being 100% serious right now.
Can I play?
Who on the Washington Redskins would start for any other team in the NFC East? Name one player who would start
London Fletcher.
He would start at middle linebacker. Yeah, for the Dallas Cowboys.
Absolutely. They'd put that kid at weak side, and he'd be unbelievable.
He's not allowed to play any other position. So if you take Santana Moss, he has to be the number one.
Well, he would definitely start for the Eagles. The Eagles are terrible. Their linebackers are the worst. Some of the worst in the league.
See, I don't think there's a single player on the Washington Redskins.
He had 200 tackles this year.
Oh, for the crappy Redskins.
Nobody else
can tackle on the Washington Redskins.
No, that's not it. You know why he had a good year? Same reason he had a good year last year. He's always in position to make the play, and I'll tell you another reason he makes it. His front three played pretty well. They did.
Yeah.
Their front seven isn't half bad. Their secondary sucks. And until they get rid of guys like D'Angelo Holmes. No, we trade away Carlos Rogers. He has an all-pro year in San Francisco.
You mean D'Angelo Hall, right?
Yeah. No, I'm saying we traded away Carlos Rogers. D'Angelo Hall we need to get rid of.
Right.
He's terrible. He can't cover anybody. All he does is talk smack. And all he does is make other wide receivers want to catch 15, 20 passes on him.
Well, D'Angelo Hall is a good corner when he has a shutdown corner on the other side. He's not the number one corner. And
yeah,
Carlos Rogers was that shutdown kind of guy, as we're now seeing in San Francisco.
And Carlos Rogers can tackle.
He has six picks in San Francisco.
Yeah, but the Redskins.
San Francisco said, hey, Carlos, if you turn your hands around, you can catch a ball.
You're true. True. He had the best year he's ever had this year.
And he had that year in Washington.
Well, no, he got coached. In San Francisco.
He
got coached in San Francisco.
He could play the bump and run
that Hall cannot play.
Hall cannot play a bump and run, and when you make him your number one corner going against another team's number one, you're going to exploit him for a jump-the-gun corner, getting beat deep kind of guy.
Carlos Rogers is from Auburn. He is a typical Auburn corner. He is like a linebacker against the run, and he will get in your shadow.
He's good.
And he always did
I hated Carlos Rogers when he was here. And now
Carlos Rogers when he was here.
Now that he's gone, I want him back.
Well, exactly, because he's good.
Just like every other Washington fan out there, they hated Carlos Rogers when he was here. And now that he's gone, and we actually see that he plays well in a system that we don't have, you want them back.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go to the next, let's go to the north. Let's go to Green Bay. They're going to be fine.
This is the best.
I don't even have to go anywhere with this. They're just going to get better because they had injuries this year.
This division is the cream of the crop.
Yeah, and they're not. Chicago just made Mike Tice their offensive coordinator.
I don't care.
They are going down like the Titanic.
No.
Oh,
you
yes,
still
they
have three.
Unless you need a Super Bowl ticket, you don't need Mike Tyson.
Three of the top five quarterbacks in the league are in this division.
No.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I agree. Matt Stafford, and Jay Cutler,
Aaron Rodgers, and Jay Cutler.
No, I agree with that, but I don't agree that this is the best division in football. In the NFC, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that what you were saying?
Yes. The best division in football is the AFC.
Thank God you were saying that.
The best division in football is in the AFC.
You know what?
And it's the Bengals, it's the Ravens, it's the Steelers.
Listen, the Lions are just going to get better. They do have draft choices. They do. They have some draft choices this coming year. And I'll tell you another thing. They're going to be around for a while. Matt Stafford, look, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're going nowhere. And Matt
Stafford, especially in this division.
Matthew Stafford is a kid from the University of Georgia who is exactly what they thought he was. You know, it was fun to read that. There's a huge article AP or UPI came out with this week, but it was about Martin Mayhew taking over from Matt Millen and all the changes they made and how everything worked out just fine. They picked Schwartz as their head coach. They weren't 100% sure this is the guy they wanted, but he's a very patient guy, and he brought some good coaches with him. They kept a few guys, not many, just a couple.
They probably weren't 100% sure that he was the guy because he wasn't very good at handshakes.
Well, it's not that. He's just weird. Congratulations,
you're the guy. You know, reach your hand out and freaks out.
Do you know what it is? He doesn't like to lose.
And you squeeze your hand too hard.
Look, you got to teach kids. You know, I'm a coach. You know that. Mm-hmm. You got to teach kids how to be humble when they win and how not to be jerks when they lose. He never got coached on how not to be a jerk when he loses. And then when some guy shakes your hand hard and pats you on the back and runs away, let me give you a hint. You don't chase after him when he's 50 pounds bigger than you. You know, just let him go. Because everything that happens after that is not going to be a very fun thing for you. If you catch him and get your hands on him, he's going to beat the crap out of you anyway. And I like Jim Harbaugh. And everybody that knows Jimmy Harbaugh knows he's out there anyway. He is the most excitable, rah-rah, fun. That's why he was a college coach.
Both the Harbaughs are a little loony.
John's not too bad,
though.
They're
both loony, man.
But I've met John. John's a lot lower kid than Jimmy. He'll tell you that.
He showed up at a press conference this year with a bloody lip because he was jumping around celebrating after one of the wins.
Yeah, so that's good.
Shows up.
Yeah, that's how we are. He's passionate. Hey, he's on your Baltimore Ravens that we're going to see next week.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, let's keep going while we're at it. Chicago, I don't want to go there. Because I'm not convinced that this team is going to get better. Minnesota will be in last place next year again. The South, the New Orleans Saints, they're not going anywhere.
Well, they're going nowhere.
Yeah, they're gonna stay there. Atlanta, you know what? Unless Carolina can somehow win two or three more games next year, and
which
beef
is
up
very
their,
very possible,
it is. But they need a good draft.
They do,
and they also
they're going to get either the eighth or the ninth pick.
They need to make some changes. They really do. The Tampa Bay, you know, Tampa Bay, for crying out loud.
Loser.
Yeah,
they're
terrible. Yeah, that's it. Hey, you know what? I put this on Twitter. I put it out there this week. Go buy another soccer team, please. You know, go buy another soccer team. Don't be part of the NFL family if you're not going to spend money on quality coaching and quality players. They've done nothing. Look, Bruce Allen left Tampa, okay? How good can their GM be? If you know what I mean? Bruce Allen's done nothing since he got to Washington. Because he's not allowed to do anything. Would you agree?
An MLS team, says our producer. I didn't even know they didn't have an MLS team. That's how much I follow soccer.
So. Can I tell you what? I don't care either.
But Josh Freeman is a good quarterback who plays for Tampa Bay. He just has nobody around him.
I think he's done, though. No way. I just think he's done from a standpoint of he's not going to be the difference maker in that town. He's never going to win 8-9 games, 10 games again, unless they rebuild the defense. That defense literally looked like a high school defense.
They looked terrible.
Last Sunday. They gave up 45 points in the first half.
And they have a bunch of players on that team who don't know how to lose, as you were just talking about, like LeGarrette Blount at your running back position, who has been known to punch people, his own teammates, and other players when he gets frustrated.
Would you agree, though, that Tampa will be in last place in
the
South?
Tampa needs a lot of work. A lot.
We're going to go to the next division. San Francisco, the West. I think they're around for a while, but I love the way Arizona closed out. Arizona was in every game pretty much for their last 11, 12 games. And I'm going to tell you, this team is well coached. They care, and their fan base is, they're really into it. I don't know where. I guess Kurt Warner did that, you know, and Russ Grimm's done that, and Kenny Wisenhunt's done that. Arizona Cardinals could be a playoff team next year. I don't see San Francisco winning 13 games. No. They'll probably win 10 or 11. They'll probably win the division.
Yeah, I'll give them 10.
But wouldn't you say Arizona will be right there? And Pete Carroll's Seattle Seahawks aren't bad.
Now, you're talking about – now, you're missing a team that, to me
– St. Louis.
Is a sleeper in this division.
Yeah, they're a sleeper, all right. Well, they're dead.
Listen to me.
They don't have a pulse.
You have Sam Bradford at the quarterback position.
Oh, God.
You have Steven Jackson at the running position.
Yeah.
And then with the number 2 overall pick, you know who you're getting? My man Blackman.
Yeah, so what do you...
So let me listen to this.
Yeah.
That recipe right there, to me, starts off the equation of what is now the Detroit Lions.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yes.
Yeah! What, to win four games instead of two?
I didn't say that they were going to be great next year, but I'm telling you that they have... If they get Blackman at the number 2 pick, they have the recipe... To turn into what is now the Detroit Lions.
You're trying to tell me they're going to score more than 12.6 points per game next year?
2 or 3 years, they win this division. I'm telling you.
That's possible. Now, that's
possible. 2 or 3 years, they win this division.
I don't think it's 2 or 3. I think it's more like 4 or 5.
No, 2 or 3 years. If you get Blackman and you keep Bradford and Jackson stays healthy and you develop a chemistry.
So what do you think? You think they're going to quit trying in Seattle? You think they're going to quit trying in Arizona? And do you think they're going to quit trying in San Francisco?
Arizona.
There aren't enough wins there. They're just like the Redskins.
Arizona.
They're going to be in fourth place in their division for a while.
Arizona doesn't have a quarterback.
God, I would love to get some of this.
Arizona doesn't have a quarterback.
Seattle, I wish somebody would put the futures up for 3 or 4 years. I could retire.
Seattle doesn't have a coach.
Pete Carroll's not a bad coach.
The guy would rather do charity work than coach his own players.
Now, you're going to get down on Pete because of
his
tweets.
Look, charity work
See, you just
is
think
because
he's got his phone with him 24/7, and he actually retweets more than I do, Pete Carroll.
The guy is more...
Oh, by the way, you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G.
Yes, sir.
Go to our website, brucehallsports.com or sportsmancave.com, or just go to WFAS's website if you really want to see what's going on in the world in New York. We got a game. We're going to start talking about the real games right now. We got a game at 1 o'clock, and I'm imagining there's some people out at the stadium.
MetLife.
God. You know what? We went by there on the way back.
We did.
Isn't that wild?
It's great.
It was.
It's kind of off in the middle of nowhere.
You know
but
what?
It's closer
if
to New York
to,
than,
I,
it,
if,
than whatever the crap it, piece hey, of if, junk that we had with the FedEx Field.
Hey, if we hadn't have been feeling so well with our lower digestive tract on the way back, we probably would have stopped, spent the night there another night, and watched the game. And I would love to have been at that game. I actually called one of my best friends, John Pugh, who's a football and baseball coach up in New Jersey, and invited him to go to the game. And he was on his way down to North Carolina for his once a year to see his family. So there was, you know, Roy and I were just in a big hurry. I was probably doing 75, 80 on the way back. It wasn't bad.
You scared the living
That's how I drive. Hey, dude. You scared the out of your...
I mean, I was terrified.
No, get over it.
I promise you, man. I was texting people.
Let's talk about the Giants.
You can have my stereo system if I die. Like, I was writing my will down 95. Just like, okay, this is what you can have. This is what you can have. And the whole time, Bruce is like, these drivers suck. Everyone around here is a terrible driver.
They are.
And you, I don't know if you use a single blinker your entire drive.
Don't have to.
I was terrified,
man. You don't have to. Hey, let's talk about the Giants game. What's going to happen here, do you think?
I think the Giants win the next two games. And that includes the Green Bay Packers.
I converted you, didn't I?
And
you were never like this until you hooked up with me.
You converted me. Plus, I was listening to some New York radio on the way in today, and they reminded me about the four defensively.
Oh, jeez.
For the New York Giants, how they only have to rush those four. And when you put them up against a Matt Ryan, and you put them up against the Green Bay Packers, who they'll play next week, that enters you into some coverage when you can get pressure with
Roy,
only your four, and you don't have to send somebody else.
Roy, there's a big difference in the NFL playing 7 deep and 7 up front. When you can play 6, 7 deep all the time.
Turnovers.
Everybody, turnovers. You know, guys end up making bad throws. I mean, I see today's game, honestly, you know, being a situation where Atlanta's got to pound the ball. You know, there was a stat earlier this year that when Michael Turner touches the ball more than 26 times or 25 times, they're 26-2. Now, that was earlier in the year, so that might not be exactly the right stats anymore. But if they can't run the ball, and they will be able to run the ball to a certain extent, I think Atlanta can stay close. I think Eli and I think Brandon Jacobs and I think Ahmad Bradshaw are going to have all three have good games today. And I'll tell you another thing that's going to happen today. It's going to be real physical. Atlanta's offensive line is a real kind of run first line. You know, they're not real athletic offensive linemen. They're good, and don't get me wrong, they've gotten Turner a lot of yardage over the past couple of years, but I'm not a big Matt Ryan fan. When he's not indoors, he has a losing record. And I mean, they're not indoors today. No. Now, it's supposed to be 45-50 up there.
I think it was like 43 and 5 to 10 mile an hour.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably not going to make much difference, but trust me, Eli's your quarterback when there's any wind, not Matt Ryan. And you know what? That crowd, you know, I heard Coughlin's press conference earlier this week. He wants the crowd in it. He said that the crowd made all the difference in the world. Of course, it was Dallas. But it's just as easy to hate Atlanta as it is Dallas. I mean, it's the playoffs. Look, if they can win, this will be their third win in a row at home. And you know how I am with the Giants. I'm a realist. They don't win a lot at home. But I said this at the beginning of the season. I said it in the middle of the season. I said it when I thought all four teams in the East would be 8-8. This is a very similar Giant team to the team that went to the Super Bowl 4 years mm-hmm. ago. And they're almost identical to that team. A lot of the guys, I think, was there 26 players that were on that team that are on this Giants team? If the Giants go out to the lead, they got a good chance. If Atlanta gets the early lead, it's going to be a close game.
Here's the thing that is kind of telling to me.
Right.
And it's going to be the game. Something's got to give here, okay? Rushing, the Giants are the worst rushing team in the league at 89 yards a game.
With those two running backs, which is weird.
The Falcons have the sixth best rush defense in the league. Something's got to give there. Or you look at the passing offense. Giants have the fifth best passing offense in the league. Falcons have the 20th worst passing defense in the league. So what's going to happen here?
Sprint draws. You know what's going to happen? They're going to spread everybody out. They're going to run sprint draws and screens, and they're going to throw the ball down the field.
If the Giants can get the running game working, right. Game over.
Spread them out. Make those linebackers. You know, they do have good linebackers in Atlanta. They've got a couple. They've also got John Abraham playing pretty well at defensive end. He is going to put some pressure on Eli. But I'll say one thing about Eli. He handles pressure pretty well. I mean, this is a guy. Did you see the throw he made last week? It was unbelievable. He did like a 360 and just threw off his back foot, and it was right in stride going down the field. Of course, when you're throwing to Victor Cruz and Hakeem Nicks, Mario Manningham, and you know who's back? Jake Ballard's going to play.
Yeah, they have a great receiver. I mean, their receivers are top.
Jake Ballard is so much bigger than everybody thinks. He is going to make a big difference today. As long as he doesn't get nicked up again, I think he's going to be fine. I think they get their center back for another game. He's been healthy another week. I think the Giants are going to put it on him. I mean, 3 points? Come on. You know, this is the Atlanta Falcons playing outdoors in the Giants' home field. I'm taking the Giants. I'm 3-0. I want to be 4-0 at 4:00, and I'm taking the Giants minus the points. I got to. I just like them too much. I don't want to be the guy that says they may go to the Super Bowl and not be on them.
Yeah, you kind of have to write them out at this point.
Now let me say this: there are some guys that are going to have something to say about that. Their names are Roddy White, Julio Jones, who is turning into a monster. But you know what? Most of the catches these guys make are 5 to 10 yards down, 10 yards down the field. Mm-hmm. A lot of skinny posts, not a lot of deep stuff. I read a very, very interesting, and it was actually, I think I saw it on NFL Matchup 6:30 this morning, that They're 11 for 44. Matty Ice is 11 for 44 throwing 20-yard completions. For every 20-yard-plus pass he throws, three out of four are incomplete. Drew Brees, on the other hand, it's like 70. So, I mean, you know, compare the two quarterbacks here. Matty Ice is better indoors for a reason. It's like playing in your living room. You know, 72 degrees, there's no wind, and everybody in the stadium that's an Atlanta fan is quiet. That ain't happening today, is it?
No.
It's not going to happen today. I love the Giants today. I really think that this is going to be the, you know, everybody wants, Green Bay doesn't want the Giants to win, I'll tell you that. We talked about that before. Hey, the Giants have one of the only teams anywhere that can beat Green Bay.
Packers fans are even talking about it. They've been calling in all week. We want to see Atlanta. We want to see Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, they want Atlanta because they know what they get there. Mm-hmm. With the Giants, you don't always know what you get there. You might get Ahmad Bradshaw for 70 yards on a screen pass. You might get Brandon Jacobs on a sprint draw for 50 yards up the middle.
And that pass
what you're going to get with Michael Turner is 7 yards in a cloud of dust, and if you can see him. You know, Michael Turner, don't get me wrong, I'm not, you know, selling him short by any means, but Michael Turner is an off-tackle kind of guy, a little sprint draw off-tackle. He's not real fast. Have you watched him?
Yeah.
His legs are like 20 inches long.
The burner Turner.
Yeah. He's not Darren Sproles.
No, he's not.
But he has a very similar running style to Sproles.
He came from the same team as Sproles.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
The San Diego Chargers just love getting rid of good running backs.
Well, so do the Redskins. You know, the Red...
Like, how... Wait.
Not on
you
want
to come back?
Yes.
No. No.
No, we don't have enough money to pay you.
Well, then I let you go somewhere else.
I tell you.
Go be a star.
Anyway, we're taking the Giants. Let's go to the next game.
Well, the next game is...
It's your game. Two words.
Tim Tebow. The Denver Broncos at home. In Mile High against Pittsburgh Steelers, the line here is -8.5 for the Steelers. The over-under here is a whopping 33.5.
Let me ask you a question. How many plays you think today are being made with their hearts, not their heads?
For Denver?
Everybody, yeah.
I mean, Denver.
Well, I mean, I think there's people playing against Denver because of their hearts. I think their hearts are in the wrong place. I think a lot.
Oh, you mean
of,
betting?
I think a lot of people. Okay. Yes, I mean. I don't say that.
I thought you were talking about the.
No. I mean plays.
Plays.
No,
right.
Not those plays. Plays with 1001. Those plays. Listen. Here's
you're talking about the players. I'm
here's
like, all
the
of them?
Deal.
What do you mean?
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. A lot of people hate Tim Tebow. You know that.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a good Christian kid.
Yeah, he's not nasty. He's not nasty.
He didn't hold out. He showed up to camp on time.
Yeah, he's a good teammate.
He doesn't talk about himself.
Yeah.
What else is great about Tim Tebow we can hate?
Yeah.
Gosh, that guy.
But basically, that's the way.
He doesn't go on spring break. Gosh,
no, he does. Well, he goes, but he just watches, I guess.
He goes to the third world countries and preaches the Bible.
Yes, he does. He does that. You know, I was reading a good article in the Washington Post this morning about him. He grew up on a farm. I didn't know that. And then he ended up, you know, he was born in Indonesia. And he ended up coming because his dad was a preacher. And he ends up
no
back here.
There.
He ended up living on a farm right outside of Gainesville, Florida. And in his first, when he's in ninth grade, they were looking at him trying out for the football team. He was the biggest kid that was trying out. He was the fastest kid. He was the strongest kid. And he could throw a football like 70 yards. And they went, well, we're going to put him at nose tackle.
Yeah.
It's like typical, you know, ninth, 10th grade coach. And I'm like, yeah, right.
And I bet you are.
And as soon as they watched him play baseball that spring, they go, you know, this guy's a pretty good athlete. And I'm going to tell you right now, if he can score 20 points, they win today.
Mm-hmm.
If Denver scores 20 points, their defense will find a way to win today. Because guess what? Big Ben isn't going to be scrambling today.
We've already talked about how 80% of the offense is going to be run out of shotgun. There's no Mendenhall. Their receivers are a little banged up.
No Mwell anymore.
Their line's banged up. They're talking about going without Pouncey.
Ryan Clark is out because of his
sickle
situation.
Cell. He has sickle cell.
He almost died up there.
Nobody played more snaps on defense than Ryan Clark this year. So if you don't think that's a big deal, then you have something
huge
else coming to you.
Ryan Clark, when he was with Washington Redskins, Sean Taylor's rookie year, made Sean Taylor that year. He did. And Sean Taylor admitted it. And, you know, Clark, very, very modest guy. No, you know, Sean's going to be a great one. He's this. We didn't give him a million dollar bonus. If we'd have matched bonus money with Pittsburgh, we'd have kept him. No. You want to stay here? No. Get out of here.
We got Adam Archuleta.
Go to the Steelers. They suck. We're cool. They never go to the playoffs.
Adam Archuleta is going to be twice the special teams player you ever were.
We chase more good players away from the Washington Redskins than anybody's business.
It's terrible.
It is terrible. It's horrible. I'm looking at, you know, a lot of the stuff we'll talk about next week are these new lists that are coming out where, you know, according to the new agreement that they've got in the NFL, you could come out with a list about who you can make an offer to later on. And they're tied up basically for a month and a half. It's going to be interesting to see what's going on with all that stuff. But let's talk still about the Steelers. How are the Steelers going to score today, Roy?
Well, apparently they're going to have to do it on a shotgun.
Yeah.
Which to me means Mike Wallace.
Yeah. No, he's going to get double covered. You don't have to double cover Hines Ward.
I mean, I don't see the underneath routes. I mean, there's still Heath. There is, but I mean, I just, Hines Ward is probably going to get some playing time. There's really no running game. And I've talked to a bunch of Steelers fans over the past week who act like their third string running back is just as good as Mendenhall, but it's, I mean, come on, guys.
Hey, the under has gone to 33.5 from 35.5 at the start of the week. So everybody's hammering the under. I kind of like the other side here. Weather's not bad out there.
No, it's not. It's 30 degrees, a little windy, but
yeah, but it's not bad. And you know that's Pittsburgh weather.
Yeah,
you know,
Steelers are Denver
weather.
Yeah, the Steelers and Broncos are. This is a summer day for them playing in 30 degree weather. I mean that's they're used to at this time in Pittsburgh. They're used to playing in the teens.
You know what I'd like to see happen? I'd like to see, because you know that the Steelers are going to put 8 in a box, sometimes 9.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the first game or second game that Woodley and Harrison have played together, because Woodley's been banged up, and Harrison was on double secret probation for hitting Colt McCoy like, you know, he was trying to kill him. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Yeah, they're going to have one hell of a party at the commissioner's house this year, because he's collected more money than I've ever seen for these fines. You know what I mean? Don't you think he has?
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
it's
ridiculous. What is he doing?
Where does all the money go?
How about last night? Well, it's got to go to charity.
Because
if it doesn't go to charity, they're in trouble.
I got some serious bills to pay. Who can we find this week?
You know, but
Harrison probably punched a guy illegally. Let's go get him.
Pull me up all the James Harrison film you can. You know, did you see last night's game when the guy got hit in the end zone? They called him for hitting him in the helmet. He touched him in the helmet with his hand, and he dropped the ball. This was late in the game, and I'm telling you, even the announcers went, that's a penalty?
Excuse me?
Well, you know,
Roger Goodell is just putting his fingers together
in
the background. Yes.
Listen, I love the NFL. I would never say there's any conspiracies, but you know, you never know.
I
made the statement last year before the game when I went, oh, by the way, I went 6-0 championship weekend, and I went 3-0 or 4-0 on Super Bowl weekend with 4 plays, because I had Green Bay in the over, and I had them in a 3-teamer from something else. And I looked, how are they going to let Ben Roethlisberger win MVP of the Super Bowl after at the start of the season he might have been up for rape in a Georgia town? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I completely ruled Pittsburgh out. Now, if you remember the Super Bowl last year, Pittsburgh or the Packers didn't score for like an hour and a half, 2 hours on TV. I'm just saying they didn't score. And somehow Pittsburgh didn't take advantage of it. And then if you remember, they had the big fumble. Then Green Bay goes the length of the field and scores, takes the lead, and they win, and they barely cover. I'm going to tell you this week right now, I like Denver. And it's not because of John Fox, because I don't like John Fox. It's not because of John Elway, because I don't like John Elway. It's because of 2 words.
Tim Tebow.
And 1 word. God. I love Tim Tebow. I just love what the kid stands for. I love – somebody came out this week, and it was a defensive back for – might have even been a Pittsburgh Steeler. And he's a very religious guy. And he said, when you have the platform with Christ, you use the platform. And that's what he does. That's what he always does. He even made the statement this week. He says, I hope I can be, you know, a good quarterback for a long time so I can use my platform to do whatever. Well, good for you. Win the game today. Win it for the Broncos fans. Hey, they got some crazy fans.
They do.
No, they've got sick fans. Hey, I can go back as far as San Diego when Doug Williams scored 35 points in the second period, the second quarter of the game. I went to get a Coke and a hot dog. I came back and we were up by like 28 points.
We being the Redskins.
Redskins, sorry. That was one of the few times the Redskins won a Super Bowl.
I wasn't alive.
1987
yep.
is when it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, I stayed all the way. That was before I really learned how to do Super Bowls.
I was alive.
I stayed in like Carmel. I stayed way up north. And it was like 30 minutes in and out. And, of course, the next couple of Super Bowls, I stayed downtown.
Well, they only won.
Gaslamp District, baby.
They only won one other one, and it was 91. And that was...
No, they won three Super Bowls, the Redskins.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the other one was 82, I believe. It was 82, 87, and 91.
Yeah. Yeah, because John Riggins.
Mm-hmm.
John Riggins broke that tackle by that, like, 170-pound corner. What was he going to do to Riggins? Anyway,
nothing.
I'm Bruce Hall. This is Roy G. You can go to Bruce Hall Second Opinion, Bruce Hall Sports on Facebook. You can go to Bruce Hall Sports on my website. Check in with us. Roy, who are you going to take in this game?
I got the Denver Broncos.
You're taking Denver, too.
I mean,
well, what are we going to play? Isaac, what are we going to play for dinner? Because I just got – didn't I lose last week? No.
Well,
I might have won.
We pushed – if you want to take the line, but you wanted to play straight up, so I...
Oh, yeah, well, we were taken up. It was a pick game. Oh, that was Seattle,
Arizona.
I took Arizona, you took Seattle. All right, I'll give you the push here.
No, it's okay.
You're such a puss.
You know, it's all right. It's whatever.
You are so bad. So, Roy...
I just think it's funny that it was a game
that... How'd that Seattle play go for you?
It was just a game... It was a game that neither of us cared about. And I just think it's funny that it was a push.
Well, you know what? Jess Root is the beat reporter for the Arizona Cardinals. Good friend of mine. I've never met the guy. We're Twitter friends. And he said, did you, let me ask you, let me just say.
You're getting too big into this Twitter thing. We're great friends.
Twitter's how I get my information. By the way, follow me at Bruce Hall Sports. I will retweet you all the best information of everything because that's what I do.
He's my Twitter BFF.
I'm Bruce Hall, the retweeter.
He is king of retweets.
I am the king of retweets. I think I've done like 10,000 tweets already. And I think I only started like when we started this season, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Sports Man Cave.
That's it?
Yeah.
At Sports Man Cave?
At Sports Man Cave.
No, .com. You know, you can't put a .com in Twitter or it like throws it out.
Yeah.
So you have to write .com. If you do that, you can get it through. Which is kind of cool. Hey, Drew Brees, 466 yards yesterday, 33 for 43, 3 TDs, no picks. He sucks, doesn't he? He's terrible. You know what? He's making a play. If the Green Bay Packers lose to the New Orleans Saints when they play in Lambeau, there's your MVP, buddy. It's not going to be.
It won't be Rodgers.
It's not going to be Rodgers. He broke
the unbreakable. When you break the unbreakable record of Dan Marino's passing yards, you got to get MVP.
Yes, you do.
You have to.
Yes, you do. Hey, you know what I think's funny? You know, I like the way that everybody gets mad when people lose. I'm going to tell this just for all those dads and little kids out there. Every time you have an event, every time you have a sporting event, whether it's a football game, basketball game, wrestling match, you have one winner, one loser. That means
unless you're in T-ball, then everybody ties.
Yeah, and everybody gets a trophy,
stupid.
Which is a bunch of crap. Get a hat. I like hats. But anyway, but listen, that's 500, right? If you're five, look, Norv Turner just got, he just got an extension, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get an extension. T-ball
owners must own the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, because he got.
They were 0-0 this year. Look at the stats.
Dude, let me tell you something. Norv Turner.
They tied every game.
Norv Turner is below average head coach, and he just basically got an extension.
That is what's wrong
There's not enough good NFL coaches. I mean, where are they here? I'm going to give you my lines for this week.
Spirit Award.
New Orleans is going to be -2.5 at San Francisco. If they're not, if it's San Francisco as a favorite, jump on New Orleans. Okay? If it's even, jump on New Orleans. If it's New Orleans 3, pass, because that's a good number. I got Baltimore -7 over Houston.
I had them at 6.5, so hey, same thing.
Now, let me ask you a question.
I'll answer.
If New York wins like we're planning, right? We're planning on the Giants winning.
Yep.
And they go to Green Bay, what's that line going to be?
It'll be Green Bay 8.5, 9.
I say 9.5.
Yeah.
It's not going to be 10. That's too. I'd be on New York like crazy there. It's going to be 8.5 to 9.5. It might even be 8. So if it's 7, I'm taking a pack. Aren't you?
Yeah.
They're at home.
Yeah.
Hey, they get the Lambeau leap. They get to do all that crazy stuff.
I think the Giants will beat the Packers. Well, put it this way. The Giants have what it takes to beat the Packers.
Right.
But, the smart bet would be on the Packers -7.
Is Tony Gonzalez coming back next year with Atlanta, or is he done?
That's a great question. I don't even think he knows the answer
to
that.
You know what? He's number two, right? He's number two all time.
In receptions.
Does he have a chance to catch Jerry Rice?
No. Nobody has a chance to catch Jerry Rice.
I think he's, unless he needs the money. You know, he's big on Twitter. I retweet all of Gonzalez's stuff. I'm lying. I don't because it's boring. It's so boring. Hey, the guys you want to hear from are the beat reporters from every one of the 32 NFL teams.
And Gilbert Arenas. Follow Gilbert Arenas. That guy is ridiculous.
I don't even like Gilbert anymore.
You don't have to like Gilbert Arenas to follow him on Twitter and laugh at what he says. That guy is a moron.
No!
He's the only guy who gets suspended for tweeting, deletes his account, then recreates another one just so he can get suspended again for what he says on Twitter.
You know, I keep thinking that I'm sitting here looking at all the stuff. Oh, Mike Smith, Matt Ryan, Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning. I'm taking the boys. I'm definitely on the boys from New York.
I like New York, too. I think the receiving core is too good. And you look at the other game, the Pittsburgh Steelers-Broncos game. The Broncos have to not turn the ball over. And for the Steelers to win, Isaac Redman has to play a role. That's that third-string running back that we've been talking about. So the games, I'm going to be watching the games at a good friend of mine's bar. If you live in Fairfax, Icon Sports Bar in downtown Fairfax, if you're in the D.C. area.
Is it in downtown? Like
it's in
where,
downtown Fairfax. Fairfax Circle. It is Icon Sports Bar. That place is awesome. Big screens galore. Lounge seating, good food, good bartenders. It's a great place to watch the games. That's where I'll be.
Hey, listen, next week we'll be going all over all the results, and we'll have another 2 hours of good fun with you. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, saying good luck. She's with one of my